Welcome to the To Faithful Men podcast. This project started in 2006 to preserve old sermon and study tapes of Wiley Flanagan, Hassel Wallace, and Mike Strevel. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also."
And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy." Now notice, while ago up here, the line of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book. That means he's conquered. Therefore he can open. He's victorious. He can open it. Now then, here's why. They sang this song about him. "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for," here's a reason, "for thou wast slain and hast redeemed men," not us, "but hast redeemed men to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made them," not us, "unto our God kings and priests, and they shall reign on the earth." Now you see the correction? Now, according to the King James translation here, whereby using the "us," it would show you that these living creatures, the four of them, and the 24 elders are singing a new song, saying that thou, by thy blood, thou hast been slain, and thou hast redeemed us. That would put them among the redeemed, if "us" was it is a proper translation, see. But no dispensation even will claim that that is the proper translation. They even correct it to them. In other words, it's in the third person rather than in the first person plural in the Greek, whereas the King James translators put it in the first person. Now,
you're saying that this is the angel singing what Jesus Christ
accomplished. That's right. The 24 heavenly beings and the four beings are singing a song that says that Christ, by his blood, has purchased unto God men out of every tribe, out of every nation, out of every tongue. See? Everywhere. They're singing the song. Now that's why he's worthy. They're singing a song that Christ has overcome, that he has been slain. He died on the cross. And they are singing that when he died on the cross, that he purchased for God men out of every nation, every tongue, every kindred. Yeah, that's what the Bible says. And the Revised will try to check your Barry. Check your interlinear, any of them, Baxter, Barry, and the Impact, Dodd-Lock, any of the group, you know, interlinear.
Expanded translation.
I'm pretty sure he will. I haven't checked him lately. Of course, he holds to the dispensational theory, you see. See, he holds into the two commons and all, see. He will give that.
That's the only book I got.
Yeah. All right. Now, and he made, now notice what they're singing. That Christ has redeemed men, see? And he's redeemed them for God. That's why he came, wasn't it? That's what he said he came for, wasn't it? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out. They're singing that Christ did accomplish that. And on the basis of the fact that he accomplished that, now he's able to take this book, this scroll, and to break the seals. Barrel. So, this, whatever comes out of that scroll is hinged and based on the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, would the dispensation say that this is the church up there during the 7 years singing this song?
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly the point. And this is, and if this King James translation is a correct view, that would lend, and that's why that idea originated. See? Because then that would put these angelic, the four beings as well as the 24, see? And it would put them in the category of redemption, having been redeemed. But they only sing, they sing the song. And the song is that, that Christ has redeemed men out of every tongue, see? Out of every nation, every class of nation. And I beheld, and has made them unto our God kings and priests, and they shall reign on the earth. Now, brother, there is a that reign on the earth is based on what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross. Not according to Abrahamic covenant, not according to the Mosaic covenant, not according to a Davidic covenant. May be embraced, may have relations, but the point is that they reign on the earth, or will reign on the earth, simply, wholly, because the Son of God bought them and made them a kingdom of priests unto God, a kingdom and a nation, and they shall reign on the earth. Now you see now, unless you link that statement that I made with dispensationalism, well, you won't get it won't mean anything, see. But their whole argument, see, is that there are two peoples, the Jewish Gentile, Jewish in the church, see? They never merge. But brother, in Christ, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, see? As far as redemption is concerned. Now the Jews still live. They still have a place. They still, God is going to see to it. And his purposes for the Jews will be fulfilled, just as any other purpose which God had. Now, and I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne. Now then, he tells us about many. See, whoever the 24, whether they are, apparently they are they're leaders among the angels. Now, I can give you three verses of scripture that shows you that the New Testament has rank among angels. Romans 8, 38, Ephesians 3, 10, and Colossians 1, 16. Now those three passages speak of exalted heavenly beings. Whether you want to call them an angel, or cherub, or seraphim, or whatever it might be, see? Are no name, just a host. They are members of the heavenly host. But if there are ranks, well, then there'll be some leaders. And the four living creatures are leaders. The 24 are leaders in their profession, in their service that God has designated for them. And the four figures of the lion, the ox, and the the eagle, and then the man. Why, it may be, you see, that this there is the lion. Well, he's leading the angelic order or the heavenly order, and he leads that aspect of creation. Because you go to find in Revelation that redemption, this work that Christ did upon the cross, is going to affect the whole creation, the whole realm. That not only God purchased to himself, but of men out of every nation, but that the whole creation is going to benefit because of the Lord, because of the work that Christ did. Why? Because we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. What is it? The curse upon the earth. There's no more sea, which symbolically is has to do with the trouble and turmoil of nations and so on. Well, all right, and vegetation, growth, trees, feeding the nations and so on. All right? And I beheld, and I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. That just keeps on multiplying. There's a whole great host up there, wasn't it? All right? Now that's the voice of many angels. That's the heavenly host that was around that throne all this time. Now, that's not talking about the ones that's redeemed out of the earth now. Now, we're going to see them. They're going to, the Bible will describe this great number that was purchased, that, of which they sang later. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Every time they pray, every time they lead the heavenly host in worship, they add an attribute to God's grace, and God's glory, and God's majesty. Attribute of God. See? Now back up there, in over in verse 11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Three things. Now then, when all of the rest of the heavenly host joins them, they pray that worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches. Now, the death of Christ is not the basis of their worship in chapter 4, verse 11. But the fact that God had created the world, creation, and holding it together is the basis of their worship in 4:11. But the basis of their worship in 5:12, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain, on the basis of his death, don't you see? To receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And then, and every creature, now look, and every creature which is in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne. Now that's what John saw now, you see. Alright? What's he seeing? He's seeing the future. Come up here, John. What for?
I want to show you the things that I told you you were going to write about. Show you the things that shall be after these. After the things which was, which are, and which shall be. So he's showing him the future. And he's showing how the results, what the results of Christ, the death of Christ, what it means, see. And it's all based on his redemption. Their worship, now, and the creatures. He sees things under the earth. That's the reason why a while ago I told you that the fair fact that one of these beings had a head like a lion, another like an ox, another like a man, another like a flying eagle, because the things in the air, the things under this old earth, man all over the world, see? You've got the whole thing. They may be the leaders in these four, leading in the worship of these different realms. Because every creature, that's what Paul wrote about, shall bow and confess to the glory of God. What? See? That Christ is Savior, that Christ is Lord. See, we started out in the introductory showing you that Nero, and especially Domitian, and several after Domitian, wanted people to say Caesar is Lord. Okay? And that's why Polycarp was put to death, martyred, because he wouldn't say Caesar is Lord. But now then it says here that worthy, because they recognize the fact that Jesus is Lord, you see. And that's what Paul was writing about. They must confess to the glory of God. All right, and he says, everything in heaven and earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne. There are many people that ridicule the idea because post-tribulationists believe that's actually is going to take place, that this whole earth will one day honor the Lord, see? And that earth itself will be to the praise of God just as much as every person that's been redeemed will live to his honor and glory. You got one verse there, then you're reading it.
Huh?
Did you read verse 14?
Oh, did I? I thought I finished, all right. Yeah, let's see. Him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever.
Beautiful.
All right. Now you see that's heaven's reaction to the book. You see, John saw this book in the hand of God, and he saw it sealed up, and he started crying. For nobody was able to open it, break those seals, and to look on it, to read it, and then you can cut it off. Then when the lion of the tribe of Judah and the root of David. Why, a strong angel. Oh, you don't have to worry about who the details of of that angel. It doesn't matter if it had been if it used any figure about any other person that might characterize some being in heaven. See, but he
said a strong angel, so that's what it was. That's who he is. And he said that this lion, this out of the tribe of Judah and this group out of David has prevailed. He's conquered. The point is that nowhere now in the book of Revelation is the book ever referred to as being open. Now, that may surprise you. This whole heavenly scene is, you're anticipating it. You've got heavens, all these angelic beings, they couldn't open it. They couldn't even look on it. They couldn't read it if it was open. And yet, this thousand times 10,000, why, they won't know what's in the book, but it's never said to be open.
Thank you for listening. Don't forget to subscribe and share with a friend. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.